Thanks, Taylor, and welcome back. It is midday. I'm Tom Hall. Maryland is home to world-class colleges and universities, shining ivory towers of learning and research. Places like Johns Hopkins, the University of Maryland, and UMBC are also major drivers of the state's economy, creating tens of thousands of jobs and bringing in research grants and other opportunities for development. So now, restrictions on international students and cuts to research grants will greatly reduce the economic footprint of these institutions in the region. My guest is a scholar who studies this kind of thing. Dr. Richard Clinch is the director of the Jacob France Institute at the University of Baltimore and the author of several studies on the economic impact of Maryland's universities and colleges. He joins us on Zoom. Dr. Clinch, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So as I understand it, last year, in 2024, federal agencies gave about $115 billion in contracts and grants and payments for various things. It averages out to like $18,500 per resident of Maryland. This is from an organization called USAspending.gov. That's a huge, huge influx of money. How, when you study this and you've studied various institutions individually and various jurisdictions, how do you approach it? What do you consider the important metrics for economic impact?
Sure. When you think of universities, they play a vital role, especially here in Maryland and most importantly in Baltimore City. From an economic development standpoint, they really have their most important impact in three areas economically. I mean, the first is their obvious mission of educating people. So they're an important source of talent in the form of a skilled and educated workforce for the city, regional and state business community. The second impact that you kind of talked a little bit about was the economic impact. So they spend millions and millions, in fact, billions of dollars in the city and state. This creates jobs not only in the universities themselves, but through the supplier networks, through the things they purchase, through the goods and services purchased by their employees. And that's what a kind of traditional economic impact study measures. And the third one that you also talked a little bit about was their role kind of directly in economic development through research and innovation. So, you know, universities, you know, generate the, you know, industries, ideas, technologies, and innovations for tomorrow's economy. And, you know, in Maryland, we're very strongly situated with these assets.
You've studied, as I mentioned, individual institutions and their various impacts on local economies and other things. Let's talk about Johns Hopkins.
Sure.
Give us a sense of where Hopkins fits in the panoply of employers in the state and in the city, and what these cutbacks to research grants, which are, you know, quite substantial, almost approaching, I think, $1 billion, if I'm not mistaken. What is that? What's that going to mean for the university and for the jurisdictions in which they are, you know, placed?
So I haven't worked directly for Johns Hopkins in several years. I did an economic impact study for them a while ago, but I looked on their website. So their most recent economic impact study was done in 2022, and their impact on the state was over $15 billion. That includes the Hopkins Medicine, and their impact in the city was $7.3 billion. You know, when you add that together with UMB, it's a significant driver of, you know, not just the city, but the region and state's economy. A lot of the cutbacks that Hopkins has weathered recently have been kind of an AID related. So a lot of the 2000 layoffs that they've announced were, you know, not necessarily in the area, but these defunding of research at the federal level, the questions of overhead that are being litigated, universities charge overhead, and that supports the research functionality of the university, have significant impacts. And that will impact the Maryland economy and the city's economy really in two ways. One is, you know, getting less of it means less jobs. So that could mean layoffs at UMB or layoffs at Hopkins if these research grants are cut or overhead is cut, reduces their ability to do research. But when you look at the innovation economy, Maryland scores relatively high in terms of an innovation economy. These are the high-tech businesses, life sciences, information technology, engineering, all of which are supported by Hopkins, UMB, and others. And it's the commercialization of the innovations at Hopkins, UMB, and other universities that are really helping to support the growth of technology businesses in the city, state, and region.
Dr. Richard Clinch is the director of the Jacob France Institute at the University of Baltimore. He's an economist, and he's studying, among other things, the economic and social impacts of the recent spate of research grant cuts and other government funding, both at the state and federal level, and how it's affecting some of our big institutions. If you have a question or a comment, 410-662-8780, or email midday@wipr.org. Talk a little bit about these administrative costs when it comes to research. They're referred to in the parlance of that world as indirect costs. So there's research, and then there are indirect costs that used to be funded at a much higher level. The administration has said that those indirect costs can account for no more than 15% of what people are asking for their various projects. What impact is that going to have? How much less is that than the normal, or heretofore normal amount that the government was subsidizing in the past?
Yeah, the overhead rates range at the universities. I'm not sure exactly what Hopkins was, but here at my university, it was 45%. That covers some fringe and other things, but University of Baltimore doesn't have a huge scientific enterprise behind it like Hopkins or UMB. What it covers there are the ancillary costs of supporting research. So it helps build and fit out the lab spaces. It helps provide support to research. So some of the laboratories and back office types of support for the research. So again, it's in very basically and very important to the research functionality of the university. So if you think of it, they get a grant to study something, but that has to take place in labs and draw on broader university facilities, and that is what's supported by overhead.
Johns Hopkins, as I understand it, is a direct employer of almost 40,000 people here in the state of Maryland. Does that make them the largest employer in the state other than, well, is it other than anything? Are they the largest single employer?
They're the largest non-governmental employer in Maryland, especially when you add together the hospital and the university. So yes, Hopkins is the largest employer in the state of Maryland. So again, when you talk about the impacts of federal cutbacks in R&D, it's hitting cities like Baltimore, much harder than it is hitting other parts of the state and region. When you look at the city's economy, there's what are called meds and eds. Meds are hospitals, eds are the universities. And when you look at the Baltimore city economy, those are the clear drivers of the city's economy. And both of them are getting significantly impacted by changes in federal spending patterns. Hospitals through changes in Medicaid, especially, universities through research funding, through student support, and other types of programs. So the two things that really do drive the city's economy are these meds and eds, and both of them are really going to be significantly impacted in the next couple of years. And it's really kind of bad timing for the city. Because the city really has finally, turned a corner kind of in terms of both population loss and employment loss, and really had a good foundation to build on. Hopkins has become much more innovative. UMB has always been quite innovative. So this is kind of hitting, the city at a time, when the state's economy is being hit, and these drivers of the city's economies are being, significantly hit. So it's going to be bad news for the city.
We have a comment from Clarence, who's a wonderful regular listener to Midday, regarding the grants and awards at Hopkins. She said that, or he says that, his daughter was let go from Hopkins not long ago because her department experienced immediate cuts, and this was several months ago. So it's certainly affecting a lot of people. I mean, of the 40,000 people Hopkins employs in the state of Maryland, nearly half, 16,000, are here in the city of Baltimore. And we should say, Dr. Clinch, that the reason that these research grants are being withheld discontinued are philosophical on the part of the administration. They simply oppose the subjects that people are studying, the issues that people are taking up. They don't want to do studies about the environment or climate change or racial disparities, even COVID-19 and other pandemics. The reasons that the administration is giving for cutting these grants has to do with whether or not the areas of research align with the administration's priority. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
I think that might be overly broad, because I think, you know, the things that are most objectionable to the new administration are probably smaller scale than, you know, when you look at something like Hopkins, you know, a lot of it is basic medical research, a lot of it's basic engineering research, you know, which are less, you know, philosophically impacted. But clearly, when you talk about cutting back in the areas of scientific research, you're hurting, you know, the generation of new innovations that again are driving, you know, not just, you know, the city or the region or the state's economy, but the national economy. When you talk about changes in federal commercialization policies and university commercialization policies, that they have become kind of the clear driver of you know, the United States, not just the regional economy, but the national technology economy. And this kind of assault on academic research is going to hurt us in the long run, especially when you look at the fact that most of the basic research, when you think about research, it can be basic research, which is kind of, you know, foundational research into early stage technologies and ideas, applied research, which is kind of taking an innovation to the next level, and development, which is making it into a product. The universities account, I don't have the number, you know, in my head, but, you know, for about 3/4 of all basic research. And this is the stuff that yields new products in the, you know, 5 years, 10 years down the line. So what happens now in this assault on America's scientific enterprise is going to hurt innovation at the, again, not just in Maryland, which has done quite well. You know, Maryland is the kind of number one in academic research intensity. It's number five nationally in terms of the total amount of academic research conducted. And when you figure that we're a very small state, the fact that we're fifth largest in academic research, and again, first in intensity, which is the share of economic activity in the state that's accounted for by research, it's going to hit Maryland hard, but it's going to hit the nation, you know, very hard as well in the long run.
You, of course, look at things other than just Hopkins, but I understand the University of Maryland Baltimore is going to be laying off some 30 full-time staff. They're going to eliminate 30 other vacant positions. This happened last spring. 4,000 faculty at the University of Maryland Baltimore get a significant portion of their salary from research grants. So it's not just salaries, though. Explain to us, for example, what an innovation district or a discovery district is. There, you mentioned Hopkins commercialization efforts. They have a thing called Hopkins Local and a tech hub thing. Explain what some of those programs do.
Well, innovation districts are I guess what you would call them an urban-based research park. The whole idea of an innovation district is the term was coined by Brookings Institution back, you know, about 10, 15 years ago, about the whole idea of having a live, work, play, learn environment. So I think it's modeled very much after Kendall Square in Boston. So when you look at old style R&D parks, things like Research Triangle, you know, they were suburban parks. But when you look at things like, you know, Boston, or you have what are called innovation districts, which are these places where people don't just work like a suburban research park, but they live, play, work, learn. So you have university facilities co-located with housing, co-located with employment centers at labs and commercial space. So when you think of, Maryland really has three well-developed or developing innovation districts. Two of them are here in the city. So you have EBDI, over by Hopkins. You have the UMB Biopark.
Yeah,
UMB Biopark
and I
is
guess there's
just
another one in College Park as well. And
and the
unfortunately,
Discovery District in College Park,
And Dr. Lynch,
which
that's
is
all the time we have today. So I do appreciate your time today and your perspective and expertise. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Dr. Richard Clinch is the director of the Jacob France Institute at the University of Baltimore. And that's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, the Trump administration is placing a host of new challenges in front of international students. We'll talk about the students in our region's universities and college and how they are meeting those challenges. Up next on Fresh Air, the actor and singer Leslie Uggams. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.
This is 88.1 WYPR, Baltimore's NPR news station.